Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Are we moving to Nashville?
Are we?
I'm there all the time anyway, recording music. We have community there.
And it's also less hot than Phoenix.
Nashville might be the spot.
So many factors can affect breastfeeding. Mm. Before having kids, I never once thought that this would be emotional at all. Just, yeah, feed your baby. What the heck? But it's so much more than that.
I got officially diagnosed with ADHD. Let's just give it up for that.
I don't think I should make jokes about it.
Jokes about my hair loss or making jokes about ADHD?
Both.
Okay.
Do you catch a different breeze?
It's honestly, feel my head. It feels so fun to just like touch. I will be honest. Though I don't think it looks good, to be completely honest.
I do miss your okay. This episode of Unplanned is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season.
For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Welcome back to Unplanned, everybody. Thank you for being here. We are so stoked that you're here. Our whole family is sick. We've been sick. I have been really sick. Oh, it's been a cause of controversy in our family. Abby has this belief that if you are sick,
Matt,
that you can manifest your way out of it. Honestly, babe, I love the idea. But man, when I'm sick, I need a rest. I need a sleep.
There's a couple things we need to unpack
okay,
there.
Okay, what do you want
for to say? One, every wife, sound off in the comments right now. When your husband is sick with the same thing that you just recovered from, I don't want to, Matt, look at me. I don't want to invalidate you. I know you don't feel good. I know all too well because I just had it. It just looked a little differently when I had it. Matt is convinced that he is just a million times sicker than
okay,
I was. Except I went at the gym, running after our children. I was working. I was moving the whole time.
And
you got to psych yourself out of sickness. And Matt is just on death's bed right now.
Let me say, there were multiple days where I was like, hey, you sleep in. I'll get up with the kids. Then after a while, I think you were like, I'm going to tough through the sickness. So then I don't know why you did this to yourself. But you're like, I'm going to go to the gym and work out at freaking 6 a.m. I don't know why you did that, but you did.
All power, I love it.
All power to you. But I will say, I think I got the shorter end of the stick with the sickness part. Because, dude, like, it's been insane. I felt like I was going to die yesterday.
I felt really sick.
I did. And I was like hacking out like snot. I don't want to be nasty on this podcast, but it was horrible. Like, I couldn't breathe. And I got hit. I don't know. I luckily got medicine. I went to the doctor yesterday. They prescribed me some Sudafedrin and some other things. But holy frick, it was bad.
See, for me, I feel like sickness is like 80% a state of mind. 20% physical. You can't overcome it. 80%, if you get up and moving, a body in motion stays in motion. You can outrun the infection in my mind. So like when I'm running, I'm like, man, I'm running. I must feel good. So
that's
then I actually physically feel good. Your mind is powerful, Matt. I'm sure some psychologist could comment and be like, yeah, Matt, actually in your brain, you can overcome anything.
I love that for you. I will say,
it works for me.
When I was at the doctor yesterday, I said, hey, should I hold off and go back to the gym? And he was like, oh yes, don't try to get back into the gym.
Of course they're gonna say that.
It'll make you sicker. Like you'll end up coming back in here being like, yeah, I got sick again.
Bunch
so he,
of weenies.
He said that are you a doctor? Did you go to medical school?
No,
I didn't know
that
you did
that. Now and you're not, so
you gave it to me though. I got it like 5 days after you. So yeah, anyway, it's been so sad. We had one kid with freaking pink
it's
eye.
It's worse when the kids are sick.
Yeah, one kid with pink eye, one kid with croup. Now we have that like breathing device that you use on your kid to help them breathe better.
And the other kid with a sinus infection. Like
so it's sad.
It's hard because it's like I could keep them inside all day and they honestly probably still get sick, but not as sick. But I'm like, I want them to like be around other kids. I think it's so good for them. And obviously like they don't go to daycare, so it's like I'm already like they need to have some social interaction. But then of course it brings with it a couple sicknesses, which they're gonna be just fine, but
then
it is just so sad when
and you
sick.
Weren't finishing your prescription, which I told the doctor. I was like, I asked the doctor yesterday, doctor, how do I get my wife to finish her prescription medication? Because if not, won't she like develop, she could potentially develop a super bug in her body.
I think it's affecting my milk though, so I don't want to do it.
But so this doc was like, how, and I asked the doctor this, like, how do I get my wife to finish her medicine? Because I know it's like unsafe to not finish the medicine. And he was like, dude, if I knew how to convince my wife to do things, I would be a very wealthy man. Wealthy. He was just like making a point, like he would write some book or develop some podcast about how to get your wife to do something that you want her to do. But I'm just concerned for you because I know with antibiotics, if you don't finish an antibiotic, you can develop a superbug in your body because the bacteria or whatever will develop resistance. So it's like it's not safe.
I never heard that before.
Okay, you can literally look it up, Abby. I care about
you.
No,
I've heard that if you don't finish a prescription, it can come back. I'm aware of that.
Yes, but then the superbug thing is like a legit thing. Can you manifest your way out of that one?
A superhero movie? I don't really understand. Okay, the villain comes back worse and stronger.
What's funny about you is you definitely...
I'm picturing something from Stranger Things. Okay.
You definitely don't believe in manifesting unless it's with illness. Like with illness, you think you can just think your way out of it.
Okay, stop. Don't even go there.
For real.
I believe that your mind is powerful and I feel like you can create things for yourself with your mind. I guess I do believe in manifesting.
I do believe that too.
But I don't believe that. Obviously, I think there's very few people in the world that their perception of manifesting is like, right now, I'm going to fly. Like, no one really thinks that. They think that they're just saying that you need to envision something happening, and then your likelihood of that thing happening will happen. I hope you get to feeling better soon, babe, because the whole family is hoping for that.
I feel, actually, yesterday I felt like I was going
to
die.
I'm trying to be calm and, like,
I really appreciate you taking care of the kids yesterday and, like, doing everything because I was so...
Did
you just fart or was that your stomach? No, that's my stomach. Okay. I felt so, so sick. So thank you for taking the reins yesterday. That really meant a lot.
I'm happy to do it. It's just funny. Yeah. I'm like, Matt, I had what you had. It just didn't look the same.
So, Abby, you are on month 7 now of breastfeeding / pumping. You're pumping now.
I'm on month 27 of breastfeeding. Minus one.
Holy crap. I didn't even think about that.
There was only 1 month where I wasn't breastfeeding.
27 months of breastfeeding. How does that feel?
Minus one. So technically 26.
Okay.
Almost consecutive months.
How do you feel? Do you feel like a cow?
No, I feel over it.
Yeah.
But there's still part of me that is hanging on there.
What makes you want to breastfeed so bad? Like, is there like this innate, this like drive inside of you that's like, feed your kid?
Mm-hmm. I was talking with another mom about this. It's like in our heads... I understand that fed is best, that like making sure that your baby is fed, that is best. And I would be the first to encourage a dear friend or family member, be like, hey, if it's too much right now, like fed is best. Like there's great formulas on the market, like all this stuff. I like believe that so firmly for everyone but myself.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, I just want to continue to do this as long as I have milk. Because for me, it's like I'm not like some of these other moms that have to go work all day, like in a different setting away from their baby. And like that would make it a million times harder. Like I have it about as convenient as it can be. It's like, I'm going to suck it up and do it. And that's kind of how I feel. Mama ain't raised no quitter. No, I'm just kidding.
So when are you going to stop pumping? When's your...
To when I dry up. Which honestly is probably coming soon because of those freaking antibiotics.
Ah, okay. So that makes sense. I can understand now why you didn't want to finish your antibiotic because of the breastfeeding situation.
Yeah, my milk supply is down to like, sometimes when I pump, I get like maybe 2 ounces.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just team. I don't want my wife to develop a superbug in her body and die. So
you know what
I'm
happens like, if I get a superbug?
What?
I will it out of my body.
You manifest the superbug.
Just run away from it.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know. Should I explain my breastfeeding journey in a nutshell?
Yeah, let's
so catch in July of 2022 was when I started nursing. Our baby, first baby was born.
And those things got to the size of basketballs. It was insane.
Oh my gosh.
It was insane because you're a woman that is gifted in that area. And so like then with the breastfeeding, it was unreal.
I
felt bad for you because it was painful for
you. Take anything attractive out of your mind. It was...
You have a picture on your
phone. They were not cute. I took a picture because I was like, this is unreal. I need to save this to show my girlfriends. And so, when I see one of my girlfriends or even just a random stranger that we start talking about breastfeeding, I'm like, oh, you know, look at what mine looks like. And I show them and they're like, oh, sister. Like, and most people are like, yeah, same. Because it happens. Like, your milk just comes in so strong and my tatas were tutus. I don't know. They're huge. So nasty, like not attractive, not cute, did not even look right. Like they were so firm that a wire bra, like it like rejected it. Like it was like, no, we're going to be the shape we want to be. It was just so bad. And so that happened both times. Anyway, milk came in. That baby loved to nurse. He would nurse all the time. We started nursing him in the night, on the airplanes. Like, he just loved milk. He just loved it. And then I got pregnant 4 months into nursing him. He was 4 months old. We got pregnant. Yeah. When I think about that unexpected positive pregnancy test, I'm not thinking about Augie at all, like our second son. Not even close. But like that moment, there was a moment of sadness because I thought that I was going to have to stop nursing because I was like, wait, I don't know if that, how you can breastfeed while being pregnant. All these things after talking with my doctor, and honestly, because of like sheer luck, my milk supply stayed, because for most people, Matt, their milk supply dries up when they get pregnant. And then I had a break, and then we had our second kid, and he was way harder to nurse because he would just be screaming his head off. He was crying. I was crying. We had to like sprint and do acrobatics to get him to latch. Do you remember that?
That was the most stressful time of my life.
It was so stressful. And he finally got the hang of it. Mom finally got the hang of it. And we did that from the taps for 5 months. And then randomly, which honestly, this, I was thinking about this. When I switched to exclusively pumping also was when my grandpa died. Because at that point, he was only nursing on one side. He like completely started to reject the other side. And I was so distraught that like the thought of making that process, like nursing and pumping and bottle feeding, when we were traveling back home, we were like sleeping on random couches and like trying to get through each day with funeral plans and like everything. I was like, I cannot make this element any more stressful and time consuming. So that's when I switched to exclusively pumping. So I was just thinking about, I don't remember the last time I ever nursed Augie, which makes me a little sad. But I know it was, like, the day that he died, probably.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just weird how, like, so many factors can affect a woman's breastfeeding. Because it's like, you wouldn't think that those two would be related, but it really just impacts every part of your life when you are your baby's source of nutrition. Thank you to Athena Club for sponsoring today's episode. Hairy girls, hear me out.
Abby's a hairy gal.
I am.
And we love
her.
And you know
what? Here's the thing. You can love my lashes. You can love the eyebrows. But know that it doesn't not come at a cost. I have hair in unwanted places as well, and that is why I always bring my Athena Club razor with me when I'm traveling. I need a razor at all times. The Athena razors are truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal. It's just $10. $10.
Wait, 10 bucks? That's it?
In this economy,
it feels like everything's quadrupled in price, so I'm shocked that it's only 10 bucks.
Yep, but don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every single time. It also comes with a magnetic hook, so you can like stick your little thing in the shower and it won't let the water sit on your blade, making it rusty and nasty. These razors really truly have amazing quality. It glides effortlessly on the skin because it also has these 5 precision engineered blades. 5 blades, you guys. They're perfectly spaced apart to let hair pass through them so it doesn't irritate your skin or get caught or gunk up your razor. They have these built-in skin guards, which is also why I don't cut myself using these, which are really nice for the skin, moisturizing. You really can't beat the Athena Club razors. Less irritation, less razor bumps. Doesn't leave your legs dried out and dull. They're amazing. And if you're ready to upgrade your shaving experience, you can switch now to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code UNPLANNED at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Back to the episode.
It really affects everything, and it's such a mental game too. Like, just thinking about when you can be away, do you have enough milk stored, if they do need to eat and you're not there, and like, how long has it been? Like, am I going to be able to nurse in this public space? Like, there's so many questions, and it's such a mind game, and it can be really, really stressful, but it can also be like so bonding and beautiful, and it's like how our bodies were designed. It's a really emotional thing, and I think before having kids, I never once would have thought that this would be emotional at all. I'm like, just, yeah, feed your baby. Mm-hmm. What the heck? But it's so much more than that. And I don't even think they fully understand it. Because, you know, there's, like, conditions tied to your breast milk letting down, which means, like, it's coming out. Like, you can have a condition that makes you feel, like, extremely depressed when your milk lets down. And so, like, those women have to stop because it... or
oh, gosh.
Because it, like, it's... there's just a massive connection between that and your hormones. I'm not a doctor or anything, okay. So I don't really know.
Yeah, but are women able to take, like antidepressants and stuff if they're breastfeeding?
I don't think so.
Okay, that sucks because...
I actually don't... What? Can I look it up? Because I don't want to say something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about that because there's so many hormonal changes. And I mean, that would be really hard if you can't take your medicine or take whatever it is that you need for your mental health because you're trying to feed your baby.
Oh, maybe you can. It says infant exposure of antidepressants through breast milk is generally low to very low.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably a conversation to have with your doctor about your dosage, like if it's like too high or something.
Yeah.
So you can. I don't know. You probably don't also want to take that, though, if it's only linked to your milk letting down, you know. So, I don't know. There's so many different factors, and I think that if one thing was different, I probably wouldn't still be nursing. But because the factors are pretty favorable for us, not for nursing, but for pumping, because I do think there's probably a difference there, I should say. We're still pumping away. But I'm not making enough milk for my baby every single day. So it's kind of stressing me out that our milk supply in the freezer is dwindling. So, my goal is to make it to 12 months. He's 7 months now. I don't know if we're going to make it. But if not, I know there's a lot of formulas on the market and I know that I can suck it up. I just think there's something innate about a mother wanting to just be needed by their baby in that way. I think honestly, if I were to talk with a therapist, they'll probably be like, Abby, I don't think it's about the breast milk. I think it's about being needed by your baby.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's what it is.
That's sweet. No, your baby does need you.
I know.
Yeah. You're so loved.
Why do I always cry? I think it's the cameras and the lights. Like, it's like, oh, everyone's looking at you. And then it's like, my emotions are heightened. I don't even cry anymore. Do you understand that?
Yeah, you have been crying a lot less. I've realized that, Abby. I
don't cry.
I was so used to pregnant Abby that, like,
me too.
You kind of feel like a different person in a way.
Yeah, I'm so healthy now.
And I also kind of feel like I'm different. I mean, I just shaved my head. Like,
yeah, can we talk about that? You are a totally different person.
I've made a lot of changes.
You're the artist now.
Just got diagnosed with ADHD. Could have some other stuff going on.
No, you don't.
You never know. So, what do you think about my buzz cut?
I love that moment for you because
you
it had to feel extremely freeing. I knew it was something you thought about for a long time.
Yeah,
and I love the fact that like you can just pull triggers.
Yeah.
So I am happy that you had that moment.
I think like buzzing my head made me realize how insecure I've really been my whole life without even realizing it. Like, I don't know. I've always relied so much on outside opinions for confidence and like a boost in self-esteem. And I kind of just decided to send it because I thought it would, I honestly thought it would look good. I thought it would look cool or I was at least hoping that it would. But one of the big factors in like actually making the decision to buzz all the hair off was, hey, regardless if it looks good or bad, I have value as an individual and I don't need to like view myself as less than, even if it doesn't look good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of deep, but that's
kind of something. Yeah, I mean, for me, that's like a no-brainer.
I know. I feel like you've always had so much more confidence than me. Like, I would love to walk a day in your shoes and like know what it's like to be that confident and to know what it's like to not care as much what people think about.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't ever feel like embarrassed or insecure about things.
I don't know.
I wonder if my brain is different than your brain in that way.
Probably. I feel like you're so much more comfortable in your skin than I am.
What makes you think that?
You know, I don't know. I think like, okay, something about me that I've realized, like when I meet new people or I walk into a room, a constant thought in my head is, am I being perceived as normal? Are people liking the way I'm acting? Do people like me? Am I acting cool? Am I acting weird? Did I do something that offended somebody? Like, I'm so nervous that I'm going to F something up. Like, I'm so nervous that I'm not going to be like a normal human being. And I don't know. I've always wanted to.
Do you think that? Sorry to interrupt.
What's up?
No, you're good. But just to touch on that, like, do you think that that makes it more difficult for you to listen when you're meeting new people and like trying to have conversations because you have all that like mental noise?
I mean, look, so the thing is like, I do love meeting new people, but then there are situations where I get nervous and in my head and where I get like super insecure in a way. And like a discovery that I've just had just this past month is I don't have to be everybody's friend. I don't need everyone to like me. And I actually want to be more open and honest about who I truly am when I do meet new people, because I want to quickly establish, are we going to vibe? Are we going to be friends? Do you like me? Do I like you? And rather than coming from a mindset of, oh my gosh, I hope they like me, I have more of the mindset now of like, do I like them? And I think when you're just more open and honest about who you truly are with other people, you're able to establish those deeper bonds faster, because you can clearly see, oh, this person, we don't connect as much, but oh, this other person, I actually really connect with them.
That's good.
Yeah.
I want you to find confidence and just like peace and self-assurance.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's been like, we went and saw that Hunger Games movie, which I think we talked about this on the podcast, where the main actor buzzed his hair in the movie and it looked really good. And that was the initial inspiration to buzz my hair off. I was like, oh, that looks sick. Like, I could maybe do that. And then I thought about Brad Pitt and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He buzzed it, like he's rocking a buzz cut.
When did we watch that movie?
We watched it like a year ago.
It's a pretty cool movie. Just stuck in your mind?
He looks like a freaking stud in that movie. And then
just like him.
I really don't. I really do not. And then you have Nick Jonas. Nick Jonas buzzed his hair.
That's right.
When he released his new music back in like 2016. Maybe that was like...
Is it easier to maintain for you? Like, is the maintenance pretty easy?
The maintenance is unreal. Like, I literally don't do anything.
Do you catch a different breeze?
It's honestly... Feel my head. It feels
so... No, trust me. I feel it a lot.
It feels so fun to just like touch and play with it. I will be honest though. I don't think it looks good. To be completely honest, I kind of go back and forth. I'm like, oh man, I look so tough. Like, I kind of look like tough military dude, whatever. And then there's other times that I'm just like, oh, frick.
I think they have to make it shorter than that.
Yeah, but then I'm like, you can freaking see my receding hairline. So that sucks.
I don't think it's receding.
1,000% it's receding.
I feel like it's always been that way.
If you look at like Brad Pitt and Nick Jonas when they had their buzz cuts, don't you think
yours has always been that way?
I've always had like a slight widow's peak, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But mine's definitely receded more as I've gotten older.
Really?
Yeah. So realistically, I'll probably get like a hair transplant surgery at some point in my life.
Don't. Just let it go bald, man.
I could, but I just feel like I would love the look of hair more than
bald. You go bald and then you tattoo your hair on.
Dude, honestly, I kind of want to just do a social experiment and fly to Turkey and see how good the Turkish surgeons are with hair.
Maybe not. Maybe.
Have you heard about that? It's literally like 90% cheaper to get your hair transplant surgery in Turkey. So
have
people
you done
fly
research
there.
Into this? Where'd you...
Like, a lot of people know about this. There's TikToks of groups of men boarding airplanes and they all are balding and then they come back with bandages on their heads on the same airplane.
Something about that is unsettling.
Because they go to Turkey to get their hair surgery done. Hmm. Mike from Logan Paul's podcast got his hair surgery done in Turkey.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it's a common thing. Yeah. But no, I actually ordered some collagen. I ordered some biotin. I've got all sorts of...
Do you take it though?
I haven't been taking it.
You're really good at adding to cart and purchasing, but just not kind of like your ADHD medicine.
Yeah.
So, I don't care if you take that, by the way. It's just funny that you like went and got it, but I don't think you've taken it a day.
I haven't. What I really want to do is actually get on some like legit medicines or drugs or something that would help my hair to be thicker and fuller. Because you can't, like, there's no cream or substance.
Wait, you got medicine for your hair too?
I haven't. I've just gotten supplements, but like, there's no, I can't just like rub cream on my receding hairline and make hair sprout up. It doesn't work that way. Like, if I want to have hair in the spot where hair doesn't exist right now, I will have to get surgery there.
So if you take these supplements, there's no way it can isolate the hair growth to just the top of your head.
Oh, it's going to make you hairier everywhere else.
Your butt cheeks are going to get even hairier.
I'll probably have hairier butt cheeks. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Abby was shocked when she found out I had hairy butt cheeks. She was like, Matt,
I don't think this is normal. That.
And I was like, Abby, I'm pretty sure all men have hairy butt cheeks. And she's like, not my dad.
Nope. Or my brother. It doesn't run in my family. The men in my family do not. Don't ask me how I know that.
In other news, I got officially diagnosed with ADHD. Let's just give it up for that.
I don't think I should make jokes about it.
I don't care. You can make jokes about it. What do you mean?
Really?
Were we talking about making jokes about my hair loss or making jokes about ADHD?
Both.
Oh, I don't care. It's fine.
For both?
I think it's like, it's fun to make fun of yourself, you know?
Yeah, I think it's fun for most people, but I think it's not fun when I make fun of you.
It depends on if you're being, like, if we're like arguing and then you try to make a joke, then it's like, that actually sounded like you were being mean. That? No, but I like joking around. I think that's kind of fun.
What? I like joking around.
I do.
It's really fun.
I do. Thank you so much to Rocket Money for sponsoring today's episode. We love Rocket Money. We've actually been using it to help budget our finances for about a year now. And my favorite feature of Rocket Money by far, they can literally negotiate your bills. So think about like negotiating. It can kind of be scary.
How does it do that?
I'll be honest. I have no idea. I actually don't know.
Rocket Money can literally negotiate your bills to 20% lower.
They did. So they negotiated our security bill. We used to pay, I think it was $50 a month for our security bill, and they negotiated it down to $30 a month.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. When I was thinking about budgeting, I was like, blah, blah, blah. This sounds so lame. I can't do things I want. Like, budgeting is holding me back. No. Budgeting gives you the freedom to spend your money on what you actually want to spend your money on.
So
like, say you're like, oh, I can't buy this because I'm budgeting. It's like, no, I can just adjust my spending elsewhere so exactly. that I can get more of what I want.
Here's an example, right? So we saved $240 a year on our security bill because Rocket Money negotiated it down. So now if Abby is like, I want this bougie pair of $240 shoes, now we're like, okay, because we saved this money in this other spot, we can spend
budgeting it. Budgeting allowed me to spend more money here, which exactly. I would probably buy a $240 pair of shoes.
You wouldn't?
But Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $750 a year when using all of the app's features.
I know exactly what it is. I found this like Jeep. It's like a car that Griffin can drive, and it's like $300. With the $750, I would buy Griffin and Augie matching Jeeps so they could drive around our neighborhood.
And then you'd still have $150 to spare.
And then I would buy a $150 pair of shoes.
That's hilarious. So yeah. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/unplanned. That's rocketmoney.com/unplanned. rocketmoney.com/unplanned.
Back to the episode.
What do you feel like the benefit of receiving a diagnosis of this was?
I just wanted to know what was like actually going on. Like, I wanted to know for real, like, do I have ADHD or am I just self-diagnosing? Because I think everybody's so quick to self-diagnose after they see a TikTok about, oh, you could have this or you could have this. And people are like, I am this way. And then I just think going to a doctor is the way to go. So yes, I went through the appointments, which, by the way, we did an ad for, was it ZocDoc?
Mm-hmm.
On our podcast. And then we realized, wait a second, I can get diagnosed virtually, like from a virtual doctor. So that's what I did. And then it all worked out from there. But yeah, just like knowing what I have, I can now find coping skills and coping mechanisms to help with me to focus and for me not to get as easily distracted and just to understand myself better and what's going on. So that was like really, really helpful to have that.
Do you feel like it was like pretty straightforward? Because they're not like, are they like, do you have trouble focusing? And you're like, yep. And they're like, okay.
Okay, what was crazy is they like nailed me. Like, it was like they read my mail. They just knew me so well just from all the questions they're asking. They said, do you oftentimes just like walk out of a conversation or a social setting and not tell anybody where you're going? And I'm like, literally all the time. I don't know why I do that. But like, we'll be hanging out and I'll be like in a group of people and I'll just like go to the bathroom or like go get something and not tell anybody where I'm going. But apparently that's a symptom of ADHD. I had no idea. I do that all the time.
So do you think that now we just have to accept, like, sometimes you do these things and like, because there's a diagnosis, it's like, well, that's just how he is. Or is it something where it's like, okay, we know that you're predisposed to do this, so we can do X, Y, and Z to make sure that behavior doesn't happen?
Okay. So it's helpful to know what I have, because now you, as somebody who, maybe I change the subject when we're talking about something, or maybe I wasn't listening to something that you said. It's not like I'm not valuing you. I can't talk. It's just my brain is predisposed to do these things that people with ADHD do.
You've done that for the past 7 years, though. I feel like a diagnosis didn't really change that for me. Like, I was just like, yeah, that's just Matt. He cares about me. He wants to know, like, my thoughts, and he wants to know what I'm sharing, but he just gets distracted. Like, I feel like being like, he's ADHD doesn't really, it's the same thing for me, I guess.
Oh, so it didn't do anything for you?
Not for me, but it wasn't for me.
Okay. It was good to get prescribed medicine, so now I do have medicine
for it. But you haven't taken
it. I have not taken the medicine yet.
Which is fine. Like, I don't know if you should get on. I hear bad things about ADHD medicine all the time.
Well, I think I'm going to take it just like periodically when I have a day where I have a work heavy load and I want to get a lot done, then I can take it and be very focused.
What happens if a normal, like, I shouldn't say normal, a person without ADHD takes it? Do they just combust?
It just, I mean, people do that all the time. You hear about people in college like sharing their medicine with people and stuff. That may or may not
have happened.
It has
the same effect. It just makes them share.
Yeah, it kind of like elevates your heart rate, makes you super focused.
Oh, it elevates your heart rate?
Yeah. That's one of the side effects that can happen.
I don't need that then.
And it makes it hard for you to fall asleep. A lot of times the ADHD medicine is like, it just keeps you up. So you don't want to take it at night. Unless you're studying for a test that you have to take the
next. So are you on ADHD TikTok now?
I don't watch TikTok, actually. I'm never on my phone. Like, I really just work my job and play with my kids. And I don't scroll on social media. I don't really do that. Do you do that? I'm asking you an honest question. I have no idea.
When you ask me questions, like, we're not in the same household all day, every day.
We, like, work. We kind of live separate lives. I mean, like, during the day, though, we're not together. Like, we both do our own thing.
I don't just sit. I never sit and scroll.
I feel like you scroll when you're breastfeeding, though, or when you're pumping.
Sometimes when I'm pumping,
when you're
yeah.
pumping, that's probably when you do that. Because I at least will.
What else am I going to do?
I don't know, like read. You've got me into reading.
I do read when I pump, too.
You've got me into reading, and I really like reading now, which has been awesome. Do we think TikTok is going to get banned? Like,
it's
actually,
already banned for me.
You banned it in your mind.
I banned it in 2023.
It's off your phone, totally.
I haven't had it all year.
So when you're scrolling, are you scrolling on YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels?
Oh my gosh, I found myself on Facebook a couple times.
You're on Facebook?
I swear. I gotta get off of that. No, but usually it's Instagram.
So you deleted TikTok, so now you're on Facebook Reels. Is that really what you're on?
It's called Reels there too.
Facebook Reels.
And Pinterest.
Oh my gosh.
You know it's bad, but Pinterest has actually been good because
I just replaced it. Like, you're like, oh, I'm getting rid of social media. Yeah.
It's so much healthier.
Why is
because
Facebook
my
Reels?
Content isn't on Facebook Reel. Wait, is my content on Facebook?
Our content is on Facebook Reels.
I gotta get off Facebook.
We have a Matt and Abby Facebook Reels page.
Okay, well, it's never popped up, so
okay.
I'm really just avoiding my own face online. No, I watch Instagram too. Yeah, for sure, Instagram. But really, I have limitations on it, but I can crack it if I really am one to scroll. So yes, I've been on Facebook Reels a little bit, and but Pinterest is very healthy. It's the most healthy platform because there's no comment section and there's no videos, so it's just very peaceful. I get the recipe I made for dinner last night, Pinterest.
That recipe last night was freaking
so
awesome.
So good.
Fire. You killed it.
Thank you.
Great work, babe.
So yeah,
but TikTok
is banned for me.
Okay, but like, you know that the government voted to ban it, right? In Congress, they did
so,
that.
So, yeah, I heard that. But then everyone still has Facebook, so I don't really understand. I don't know the
dude,
processes.
I legit think it could be banned now. Like, I actually think the government might do it.
How does that make you feel?
In the past, I would have been terrified. Because at one point, I think we had like close to a million followers on TikTok when Trump first was going to ban the app. And we had maybe a couple thousand on our other platforms. And so I was terrified because I had worked so hard to, you know, crank out these videos and build up a following on that platform. And I'm like, my whole business is going to fall apart. Like, everything I just spent, you know, hundreds of hours of my time grinding, thousands of hours to build this up. And now it's just going to be all deleted. So I really feel for creators that are only on TikTok.
I feel like it can't be real.
You don't think so?
Honestly,
think it could.
America runs on TikTok. Like, there will be an uprising if this happens.
Do you think so?
I feel like people will be so mad. Because think about, there are so many people's jobs, not just, like, influencers, but, like, people that own online e-commerce businesses that are, like, dependent on TikTok. Like, is there going to be compensation for those people? I don't know how that works. Like, they make their income on it.
Yeah.
Like,
what could happen, though,
it's their livelihood.
All of those people could just migrate to Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels.
Do you think everyone's just going to remember
Shorts.
And follow? Be like, oh, I loved this mug shop on TikTok. I'm going to see if I can, what was the name of that? And you're not going to think of it.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it is sad. I mean, for us, TikTok was the place where we were able to grow on social media because YouTube was so hard to break into when we were doing that back in 2019.
Can I'm just saying, that? I don't think it's going to get banned. I think they're bluffing again. I've seen this one too many times.
I think what the U.S. government is trying to do is they're trying to force ByteDance, which is the company that owns TikTok, to sell to an American company.
I think it's a show, though.
So, yeah, they want TikTok to be sold to an American company. And then after that, it'll be American owned. And I think from the American perspective, then it's safer for our youth and everybody to be on there. Did you actually know that in...
I thought it was a financial thing.
In China, apparently this is what's going on in China. they like push all these like science and technology videos and math videos.
And they're pushing freaking Matt and Abby in America. Rotten people's brains.
They're rotting people's brains out with Matt and Abby content in America.
So. Oh, that's what's wrong with this country.
Yeah. What? Okay. But.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm sorry. You don't feel good, babe.
Thank you. Do you actually, though?
I say that all the time.
You actually do?
Go back in your text and be like, you care about me? I don't feel good, babe. You actually care about me? Can I make you tea?
I feel like I don't want to accept any offerings. So then it's like later, it's like, I made you your tea this morning.
I want to get your opinion on this.
Yes.
When you go to a public park, or like a playground with a toddler or a kid in general, there's a whole slew of unknown territory that I'm just now embarking on. And I don't really know how to handle every situation. So like, say for instance, what's your opinion on this? You're at a public park, somebody else's kid comes up and pushes your kid.
Okay.
What are you thinking? What would you do?
You say, hey, don't push my kid. Like
you
can't,
say that.
You say like, hey, you can't push. No, pushing's not okay. What do you mean? Like, if somebody pushed
With that kid's parents standing right there? That's the thing.
That's true. Okay, so what would you do?
So, for me, I would have a different response if the parent was there. Because if the parent was there, I would expect that parent to step in.
Okay.
Totally. And if that parent didn't step in, I don't think there's a circumstance where I would talk to that kid unless it was, like, really dangerous. Otherwise, I would just take my kid out of the situation.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how big the push is. If it's, like, a little nudge, who cares?
Yeah, if it's a nudge, I wouldn't do anything.
If they're yeeting my child, I'm going to be like, hey, don't push my kid. That actually made me uncomfortable, Abby, at the park a couple weeks back when we were with our friends Mike and Ashley. Do you see that dad that was yelling at someone else's kid? It was really uncomfortable.
Wait, what happened?
So he was yelling at these kids who kept kicking a soccer ball, I guess, towards where his kids were playing. And he was telling the kids to go play soccer out in the field where there was like all this open grass, which totally valid, totally get that. But he was not being chill. Like, he was yelling at, like, 9-year-olds. And then his kids were, like, probably 4 years old. And they were on, like, the merry-go-round or the little spinny thing, whatever it's called. So that made me uncomfy.
So what do you do if you're the parent of one of those 9-year-olds? Like, someone else at the park is yelling at you. Some other parent is yelling at your kid. What do you do?
They didn't. The parents didn't really do anything. But if someone's yelling, like, someone's screaming at my kid. Now, if my kid, like, punched some kid in the face and there's a parent screaming at my kid, I'm going to be like, okay, I can see, like, I'm not going to like really do anything. But if it's like some little offense and there's another parent screaming at my kid, we're going to have a problem. Like, I'm not going to, you can't just scream at my child.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what's going on. Like, maybe they push your kid, whatever, but you can't just scream at my child. You could maybe reprimand them and say, hey, you can't do that. But to like lose your cool at someone else's child, that is completely not okay.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You shouldn't do that to your own kid, first of all. You should not be talking to your own child like that. But doing that to somebody else's kid, not an okay thing.
This episode of Unplanned is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. We have been battling many, many cold and flu and random virus that has made our noses run in this household like nonstop recently. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would agree. I currently am sick, actually.
In fact, you actually blew your nose today.
I blew my nose like 5 minutes ago.
Proceeded to show me what was in your tissue.
Yes, I have a sinus infection or something. It's pretty nasty.
I feel special that I got to see that.
You're my wife, so you get all me.
Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin, which is also awesome because I feel like our poor boys, when their nose is running and we are rubbing their little sensitive skin constantly, I want to make sure it's something that is hypoallergenic and just sensitive to those fresh baby skins.
I agree. Sometimes when I use like a paper towel, I feel bad because it kind of, you know, it's coarse on the skin. I'd rather use a Kleenex where it's soft.
For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Here's another hard thing that I've noticed. If you bring a ball, your own ball, to the park and your kid is playing with it and then another kid comes and takes it, what do you do? Once again, for me, my answer changes if the other parent is present. Or say it's a place where all the toys are shared and your kid is playing with something and some other kid takes it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out where I stand on these things because it is so
Context matters so much.
And that's what I'm saying. It's complex.
The context really matters, and it's not like a one-size-fits-all situation. You have to, you know, confront every situation differently.
And why do we force... Something else I've been asking myself is, like, why do we force our kids to share? We don't share everything we own. Like, sometimes we have things that are just ours. And so it's like, if a toy is special to my kid, and, like, yes, I'm never going to encourage that, but if it's, like, I feel like this is, like, their thing, I don't know that I think I have to let every other kid play with it.
Something I've been thinking about as a parent is when to use distraction, because I know that if my child wants to stick things into an outlet, right? Like, that's not safe, but maybe rather than just telling him, no, you can't do that, and Griffin getting mad and screaming and crying, maybe I just distract him and I'm like, oh, look at this ball over here. And then we go play with the ball. I feel like distraction is so useful, even as an adult. Like, if we're having a disagreement and we're on a car ride or something, and I don't want us to go down a path that could lead into a fight, I'm going to use a distraction on you and be like, hey, what do you think about that shop across the street? Maybe we should go there sometime.
You're so smooth with it, too.
I know. I'm pretty smart.
You're so smooth. I never know when you're pulling one on me. That's so true, because I feel like you can do both. You can be like, that's not safe, let's go play with your truck over here.
Yeah,
like things like that. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just a whole new world that I'm like trying to navigate, and every parent is so different. Like, also this kid in the park would not stop hugging Griffin to a point where it made Griffin really uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, you got to get your kid out of that situation.
And so I was like, I had to help him because he wasn't fighting the kid. Matt, he just went limp. He was just like, and like looking at me, he was like, please save me, mom. So I just like, I kind of like found the parent, and I like made eye contact with her so she would notice and step in, because what was I gonna do, like physically pry this child? That's the other thing, I don't want any other adult really touching my kid. Like,
ooh, yeah.
Someone tried to pick him up one time and I was like,
yeah, no,
doesn't. I'm not the type of parent to freak out, though. I'm pretty chill, but I don't want you to touch my kid.
You know what kind of bothers me? And I don't think people mean it in a bad way, but it does make me a little uncomfy if we see somebody out in public and then the first thing they want to go do is look at our kids in the face.
That's just rude.
Because we don't show their faces online.
I think that's, it's just like, incredibly rude, because it's like, we take great effort to keep them away from that, only for you in person to just violate that. And we're not going to stay inside all the time.
Okay, legitimate question for you.
Okay.
Are we moving to Nashville?
Are we?
I feel like it'd be fun for the summertime, like 2 months. In Nashville would be so much fun.
Would be fun. I'm inspired by the people in Nashville.
Yeah.
They are... I thought people were nice in Phoenix. They're actually rude compared to Nashville.
People in Nashville are so nice.
They're so nice.
I've been in Nashville pretty much every month for the past like 4 months recording music. And then we've had quite a few podcast guests in Nashville. So we're always in Nashville. And I love the people there. I love the Southern hospitality.
Oh my gosh. How everybody's nice so is it that kind. The Masters let us use their studio and then drive us. They were so kind.
Yeah. And Tori and Chad Masters from YouTube, if you guys have heard of them, they just like...
Didn't even know us.
Literally didn't know us, and we're just like, you guys can use our house to record a podcast with Carlos and Alexa Penavega, and we're like, what? Like, you guys are so nice.
I was alone with a big suitcase and just walking outside down this like little strip mall area, and another person just walking on outside that wasn't even going inside opened the door for me to help me get my suitcase into this little restaurant. Like, everyone was so nice, and I'm inspired also by like the, first of all, there's so many people that we know there, not like super
well, we know them.
But then also, like, it's a very creative place. Like, there's creativity flowing in Nashville.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun. It's also less hot than Phoenix. So yeah, sure, let's
do it. Well, that's why what I'm thinking, because like Phoenix here gets so freaking hot in the summer. It's like 120 every day. You cannot take your kids outside. It's way too hot to play with your kids. And so I thought, what if we go somewhere else for the summer just so that we can actually take our kids outside and be outside? And I think Nashville might be the spot because, one, we have community there. We know a lot of people. There's so many nice people. And then, two, I'm there all the time anyway recording music, and I could actually knock out maybe an EP or record a bunch of new songs while we're there as I pursue this artist project that I'm working on. So I think it could be a really great spot for us to go this summer.
Mm-hmm.
What have your thoughts been on the recent music? Did you like the more upbeat song that I just put out, Unfollow Me? Or do you like the more chill, like almost Jack Johnson vibes of I Like Right Now?
I always like the chill Jack Johnson vibes.
Okay.
Because that's like, here's the thing about me. I'll be honest. I don't care about music, and I'm married to an artist.
Okay.
So it's hard because...
Wait, yes, because you don't...
I don't like music.
You're right. Like, a lot of times when I've turned music on, you're like, turn that off. And it's not even my own music. It's just like any music.
No, I would never
music.
Say that to your music.
Any music
at
all. I
would never say that to your music because in general, I just am like... I don't know why. I'm sorry.
What's sweet is my very first song, which is definitely my worst song that I've ever put out. You listen to that one over and over and over. And I realized it was because it was made for you. And even though it was like definitely my worst song by far, I guess you just loved the messaging behind it and loved
it. Well, because I literally can listen to that and like in a way, it obviously sounds different, but be transported to sitting on my parents' lawn.
Yeah.
Our 1 year dating anniversary, you giving me this promise ring and that song. I think you sang it that night too, right?
I think I did. Yeah, when I gave you the promise ring, and then I originally wrote it for our 6 month dating anniversary.
Yeah, in my parents' living room with my parents all around. It was around Christmas.
Yeah.
It was just so sweet.
Thank you.
And you gave me those hot pink headphones.
Thanks. Yeah, I did. Do you still have those hot pink headphones?
And you got me that candle and necklace from Half Off Half.
Yeah.
What a sweet gesture.
Oh my gosh. It's kind of crazy, yeah, because like we've been together almost 8 years. Here I was playing you songs on the guitar and writing you music, and now I'm actually like making music and releasing it. And guess what? Today you just had your first acting class, right?
It wasn't an acting class. Don't even mention it. It's not a big deal. Let's talk about you.
It was with an acting coach, right?
No, I'm not even getting into that because I don't even know what that's going
to be. Why are you not wanting to talk about acting?
I want to talk about you. So
you're an amazing actress.
The thing is, that's funny is that like everyone having these questions about you and like making music and they're like, why? I'm like,
yeah.
Why do you have those questions? But then I realized like I've just been around you. Like everyone that's been around you knows that you love to sing. And that, like, one of your dreams and passions. So I'm, like, confused when other people are confused. But I understand now, like, if they're only following you online and don't, like, see that side of you, then I'm guessing then they can be like,
well, it's like
you
I was,
sang to me at our wedding.
I was doing music well before I was ever a YouTuber, TikToker, podcaster. So I think people just, like, they see me as this, like, family man, you know, guy on a couple's account on TikTok. And they're like, why are you, like, trying to do music? But it's just, it's something that's always been a part of me. And so it's just like, I kind of have to pursue it in a way. Like I love it so much. Like I kind of have to go for it. I've always like been really inspired by people who, even when the odds are stacked against them, even when they're predisposed to fail and it shouldn't work, they just like push through and work their butt off and make something happen. I was inspired by like stories like that. So I'm hoping that maybe that's my story too. I'm hoping that maybe me as a dad with two kids at 25 who starts making music at literally 25 when no artist ever makes it at 25. Like if you want to make it in the music industry, you start when you're like 14 and you usually take off as like in your late teens. Like Tate McRae took off as a teenager. Now I think she's like 21. Benson Boone took off when he was in his teens. So like it's a young person's industry. You have to be young to make it.
Come on, you're young. 25.
But 25 is old. Like you don't see
25
people.
25 is a new 15.
It's like it's very rare though. So I don't know. I just maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, but like I'm going to keep releasing my music every month and just kind of see what happens. I'm excited to see you act. I really think you could book some roles. Like, I was so happy that you were on the acting call today because I'm like, Abby, you can totally be an actress.
See, here's the thing that's different between you and me.
What?
Like, you're going to do this and you're going to take it to, like, the nth degree. You're going to keep going, like, and success for you will be, like, the top, being the top of it. For me, I could easily just do this as, like, a passion hobby or, like, a me thing that, like, oh, like, this is, like, my special creativity thing. And not like take it to like, oh, I gotta be lead roles. First of all, I don't think I'm capable of that. But
You totally are.
I wouldn't want to take it that to that level. I just like love being normal.
All I'm saying is the Pena Vegas told us that they are making a production company. And I feel like with whatever they do with that, you should audition for their production company.
I'll audition. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to put that out there and people keep me accountable. But I am excited. I think I might sign up for an acting class. So I love being told what to do. Like, and I love I shouldn't say it that way. Like, but I love.
Wait, you love being told what to do?
Yeah. I'm really good at taking direction and like running with it, I feel like.
Maybe you like direction, but you don't like constructive criticism, because I love constructive feedback from people. But if you ever show me one of your make it videos or something, I have to be really careful.
Well, I think you're just unique because you're my husband.
Yeah. You just want me to like hype you up. You don't want me to say anything.
Yeah, as my husband.
Yeah.
No, I do like, I want your constructive.
But like, I legit want you.
I give you constructive feedback and I like it.
But when I show you my stuff, I want you to rip it to shreds. Like,
I will never do that.
I want you to say,
I'm just not that person.
Fix this. This could be stronger. Fix this. Like, I want to be better. So it's kind of.
I'm just not that person.
I'm weird like that, I guess. Hey, quick warning, if you're in the car with kids, you might want to listen to this without your kids in the car with you. Okay, now let's continue on. Are we going to tell our kids about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, yes or no?
Santa Claus, it's March right now.
But okay, Easter Bunny, that's coming up, Easter, right? So like Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, are we going to do that stuff with our kids? Why or why not?
I don't know.
Honestly, I don't have a firm opinion on it, but I don't like lying to my kids. But at the same time, like,
it's so fun.
The fun and joy of like waking up on Easter morning and the Easter Bunny brought all the eggs, or waking up on Christmas morning and Santa brought all the presents. Like, that's so much fun as a kid.
Like, maybe we can still experience that magic as adults.
Yeah. I guess, like, I've heard from some people
that it's not like this sad moment.
Yeah. But I guess like we can just tell our kids it's us. Like maybe we don't have to tell them that it's
Easter Bunny. Or what if we said things like maybe the Easter Bunny brought it? I don't know.
That's confusing. I mean, think about a 3-year-old. Like they just need to know.
I love that. I honestly kind of like, for me, the Easter Bunny, for some reason, I don't have as much trauma associated as I do with Santa Claus.
I don't like the idea of lying to our kids, but then I also don't like the idea of our kids spoiling it all to their friends. Because think about if all their friends.
But I also love the idea of our kids experiencing magic.
Yeah. I mean.
Like, I think that you can. Here's the thing that you can do. You can include imagination into these holidays,
yeah,
and like these traditions without outright lying.
Maybe the like, magic like, can exist.
Let's find some hidden eggs and like, I wonder who put these here, and like that can be fun without, yeah. I don't know, but then it's like, is it the same thing?
Another thing though, like, okay, talking to your 4-year-old about the Easter Bunny coming is completely different than talking to your 9-year-old about the Easter Bunny coming. You know, like that's a completely different stage of life. So maybe we just establish like by the age of 8, we tell them the truth. Because for me, like I was really prying my parents and, you know, digging for them to come clean and tell me the truth about like Santa and stuff when I was 8. And I think by that time, I was just like, I was too old for it. So, I don't know. Like, when you're a 4-year-old.
Well, yeah, I think maybe we have the boundary. Like, when they ask about it, then we tell them.
But as a 4-year-old, like, you're not going to, it's not going to screw with you that you believed in the Easter Bunny as a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old. You know, it's like, everything is magic at that time. You literally believe anything that happens to you. It's like, yeah, why does it rain? It's
maybe
like,
because
the rain god made it rain. Okay. Like a 4-year-old would literally believe anything anybody says. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ah, that's tricky. I don't have a firm opinion on that, because I do want our kids to experience that magic.
Well, they're getting Easter baskets this year, and we're doing an Easter egg hunt.
You know what I'm so excited for? Disney World with our kids here in the next couple of years. They are going to, they're going to have a blast.
What they really need is a trash truck world.
That is the best thing, is like seeing your kid experience everything. Griffin loves trash trucks why? Because they're these massive vehicles that take our trash, and it's actually really cool. Like as adults, we just are like, yeah, that's a trash truck. Like we see that every week. No, but
when you actually study how those things pick up the trash cans and lift it up and dump it, it's really impressive.
It's really cool. I can
see why they're into that.
But our kids they're not used to everything that we're used to. So all of it is a new stimulus on their brain. Like Augie recently will just like roll and roll and roll and find the little like door stoppers on our doors and just start smacking the door stopper.
Loves goes the sound it makes.
And it's so cute. And he just loves it. Like to him, it's a toy.
Yeah. We'll be in another room. We're like, oh my, how did he find that?
He can roll like 20 feet. It's insane.
They're the best kids ever.
Yeah. I love that. I just love seeing the world through the eyes of a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because they make everything so much more fun. They're so much happier. Now, they do get sad just as quickly as they'll get happy. But I don't know. Like, when they're sad, though, you know that they're going to be happy again in a couple minutes. And it's only a temporary thing.
Matt, I'm really glad you bring this up, because this reminds me of a recent statement of yours that I caught on video.
A statement of my... Oh, my gosh. Don't...
Yes.
You didn't catch it on video, did you?
Dang, I missed it.
You literally were like a half second off of hearing me say that I wanted a baby number 3.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it right here.
I'm going to hate myself for saying that.
Well, we were actually talking about that. Maybe in a long while from now, we could have another little baby Matt or baby Abby.
Like, it's just so much. Like, we fight.
No, we don't need it to be like,
right. I just love our kids so much. And I'm just like, oh, like another one would be so great. But it just.
It would be crazy. It would be great because we couldn't get it wrong either way. Because, like, we have another one and it's a boy and he's just like our other boy's best friend. Or we go for another one and we get to see, like, experience what our little daughter would be like.
Here's the thing. The newborn stage, can we just be honest? It's horrible.
Matt, can you quit saying
it's
that?
It's horrible.
I mean, look,
I'm not the only one dealing with this, but, like, it's exhausting. You're not getting sleep. You get, like, literally depressed. Like, it's so hard. So, like, to want to go through that again, I'm like, no. But, like, to have another kid, like, if we could just make one magically appear that's the same age as, like, Augie or Griffin right now, or one in between them, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. If we could just snap our fingers and boom, child. No pregnancy, no postpartum, no late nights. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if that was something we could just completely skip, yeah, that would be awesome.
You're going to miss it, though. I really do think, like, a couple years from now, that's just how people have families. Like, they keep having them because you do start to miss, like, those really tough, like you've said, like, the most challenging things in life are the most rewarding.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, no time soon. And we're not, like, trying to tease that. But it was just funny that was a conversation that came up on Sunday morning.
I legit think I would be down if we could wait, like, a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking, like, 5 years. Like, what if we have, like, a 6 and 7 year old and then we have, like, a newborn?
Well, we
have
think
a
we might regret that gap.
I don't. I mean, people do it all the time. Though.
Then they're like, not going to play together.
You see
as
families
much.
Like that.
I know they do, but like, I feel like everyone's saying, like, anytime that they've had an age gap, they're like, I do wish they were a little sooner. Even though it is, there are some perks. And then the people that have kids back to back are like, oh, it was just they're all just buddies.
But then
there's exceptions, of course.
But then you can also maybe it motivates you to go out and meet more people so that your kid has someone to play
personally,
with.
Personally, if I have the option to have all my kids in my 20s, I would do that.
I mean, we could. Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Easily. I'm 25.
You're 25 right now. We're both 25. So we could knock them all out while we're in our 20s. That just seems so scary, though, to, like, go back and do that again.
No, for sure. I
agree.
Are
you scared? Do you want to give birth again? I guess you'd get another C-section, right?
That's the least of my worries.
What do you dislike more, the postpartum or, like, pregnancy?
Postpartum.
Yeah, that's true.
Postpartum is really, really challenging.
I will say the one perk, though, of, like, when you knock out more babies back to back, that we know what to do now. We get how this works.
Oh, for sure.
We have all the stuff. We have the baby spoons, the baby plates, the baby clothes, all the toys, all the developmental activities.
Machines,
we've got literally everything that we need. I need to shut up because I'm going to literally talk our way into freaking making another baby.
No, I have an IUD.
You just got an IUD.
We're very not. It's not even a real conversation, but I think it was just funny that was brought up.
You wouldn't do that to me, right? Like, just like we end up like doing it and then you tell me that you got the IUD out without telling me.
Matt, answer that question for
you. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that.
That is psychotic.
That would be bad. That would be really bad.
No, that's extremely. That should not be allowed. That's not okay. That's not actually like consent either.
Oh, that's true. That is
like you
consent.
Can't when you're consenting to do that with somebody, you are.
Oh yeah, you're like assuming that there's birth control present.
No, not assuming. You can't assume that.
You need to have that conversation, right?
Yes, and
we've had that conversation.
Yes.
So yeah,
if I change things without telling you, then that's not proper consent.
I'm glad that we got that on tape.
Oh my gosh, the fact that you would even go there and put me in that light is crazy.
I'm just kidding. Well,
you need to go take a nap.
I need to go play with my kids.
Well, their bedtime is in 2 hours and it's family time now. So we got to let you guys go.
Yes.
But until next week, we're really thankful for you guys tuning in.
Let me know what you guys think about my shaved head in the comments.
No.
It's okay. I know it doesn't look that great. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
I do miss
Bye.
Your hair sometimes.
Okay.